This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
About. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
They said it couldn't be done, but lo and behold, here you are doing it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Don't forget to follow me on Facebook. Find out what's happening under Rodney on the Rock, or OQ. Or maybe it's Rodney Bingenheimer. Who knows? But I'll be back. Honking the hits.
All right, I'm here with the lovely couple, John and Vanessa. John and Veronica. I'm sorry, John. Why did I say Vanessa? I got the V right. Veronica, I apologize. I called you Vanessa.
Okay, that's okay.
Let me ask you guys a question. You're a happy couple, right?
Yeah, today.
Vanessa, what do you have to say to that?
Veronica.
I've never gotten somebody's name wrong twice in a row.
This show is a rental car that's been, you're driving it at 80, and then let's just throw it in reverse constantly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's play some basketball!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
These nuts, bitch.
Is incorrect.
Just pass it around.
Sometimes it just sucks to suck.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
This is a professional organization. What do you
just
think we are?
Pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
And now.
She's going to be in the sex movie. I should have looked that up. The book. And lots of sex.
Our feature presentation.
She's good at her job.
She does good work. Morning, everybody. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
New Kevin and Bean Show, Friday, April 6th. I'm doing well.
It's Friday.
Yes.
My God. Right?
Yes, right?
Thank God.
We spend each night texting each other about hockey. Basically, that's how we live.
It's life.
That is life.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year when you're getting close to playoffs, and now we're just about to be in the playoffs. Chip always has to give us the Ducks update, of course.
Sure.
Hey,
it's
very important.
Because she has bad taste. And then I give you the Kings update. Your very important
Corey Perry update.
Sure,
as well.
Yeah, that's important as well. But the Kings with Dustin Brown last night won in overtime. He scored 4 goals.
No big deal.
That's insane.
Yeah, especially for a guy. I mean, this is a guy who was the captain of the team for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then sort of
you fell off.
Yeah, he sort of fell off, and he wasn't really being as aggressive as he was. They kept him. He kept playing, but the captain's armband went to somebody else. It's not an armband in hockey,
no,
is it?
Not at all.
It isn't soccer. All right, but the captain's logo went to, you know, Andrei Kopitar, and last night, and this season, by the way, he's just been coming on stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like he's found the fountain of youth. Mm-hmm. It's insanity. He scored 4 goals.
That's insane.
The winning one in overtime as well. So that's craziness.
Yeah.
And good fun. I'm so happy to see. I don't know why. I'm just so happy to see him doing so well.
Yeah.
That really genuinely makes me happy.
He's done so much for the team. And then I think people started treating him kind of icky.
Yeah.
Fans were pretty crappy to him. And he's got, you know, no teeth like most hockey players. But for some reason, his teeth, missing teeth, and Jeff Carter stand out to me the most.
Yeah.
I enjoy them.
And Drew Doughty. They stand out.
Yeah, Drew's too.
Because he smiles a
yeah.
lot. Anyway, that's how we spend our evenings.
Yeah, and I don't like to give the Kings credit, but thanks to you guys, the Ducks can't be any lower than the first wild card. So
we helped you in a way.
Yeah, you helped us with being the ass.
Look, as long as we help each other.
And then play,
until
we want.
Until the playoffs?
Yeah.
And then we sweep. I mean, that's all that really matters.
No, right. Not sweep.
Right?
Duck sweep.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning, I played you a preacher, and he was spectacular. And he told you the story about bringing an ant back to life.
Yes.
He killed the ant and separated it into 2 pieces. Mm-hmm. And then God spoke to him.
Yeah.
And he put his finger down near the ant, and the power went through his finger and put the ant back together.
Sure.
And the ant was very grateful.
Yeah.
That the preacher gave him back his life.
Right.
But he mentioned in passing that he had been woken up in the middle of the night once and stopped a tsunami from hitting Hawaii. So
sure.
I wanted to find a little more information on that.
Oh, no.
So I did a little bit of a deep dive on him. And I'm just starting this because there's a lot of videos up online.
I bet.
And I got the story of him stopping or changing a tsunami, which is quite a claim. And this is the story.
The most amazing encounter I had recently was on March 11, 2011. Many will recall that was the day there was the terrible tsunami in Japan. Thousands of people killed instantly. It came suddenly. Nobody could prepare for it. I was being very holy. I was sleeping. It was 6:55 a.m. in the morning.
All right, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How was he being very holy?
He wasn't out having sex with a hooker. He wasn't up late doing drugs. He wasn't looking at child porn.
I mean, he's a preacher, so you would think that that's kind of a given.
As a human in the middle of the
Agreed.
Night, you're sleeping.
Right.
Yeah.
I was being very holy.
Sure.
Because I was sleeping.
Right.
I was holy last night then. Awesome. It's great news.
Lucky.
I was being very holy. I was sleeping. It was 6:55 a.m. in the morning. Snoring. My wife stormed into the room and she said, Frank, our daughter is on an island in Kauai, Hawaii, and the tsunami is going to crash into where she is in 5 minutes. Apostle, I had no time to prepare. I had no time to put on worship music. I had no time to pray.
He didn't have time to put on worship music.
Oh, man.
You guys.
I mean, how long could that take, really? I bet
question.
It's right at his fingertips. He could have found a song.
He didn't know, though. He didn't know how much time he had, Allie.
I feel like he wasn't
prepared?
In worship mode hard enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
So maybe he wasn't being so holy.
Mm. Mm.
I stood at the edge of my bed, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I declare that tsunami to stop now. And I specifically said, I declare those waters to recede. And I said, Father, that is my child. I am your child. I'm coming to you now and asking you to preserve her.
How about that?
I mean, he could have just said, I'm your child. That's your granddaughter, Jesus.
True.
Right? Just quicken it up.
I'll tell you my thoughts in just 1 second after you.
Apostle, it was seen by 400 people on a cliff. It was on YouTube. It was actually on the news that tsunami stopped 200 feet off of shore. Even after having sucked the waters in, it churned and it went on and did devastation in the next island.
Now, here's my question.
Huh.
Hey, if you can protect one island.
Yeah.
Why do you let it loose on the next island?
Yeah, I'm pretty
what about
sure
Japan?
God's children are on that island as
right.
well.
Right. How about using that power for good other than just your own daughter?
Seems selfish.
Right?
Yeah.
I saw it in the spirit of God while it was happening. My daughter called me on the phone. I was describing to her what I was seeing, and she said, Daddy, I'm watching that right now. I had an encounter with the living God that was able to salvage my daughter.
How about that?
Wow.
Wow. Pretty amazing story.
That is very amazing.
If it was true at all, it would be an even better story.
I mean, in his head it is, it and is. I'm sure to some of his followers it is.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Same. It's Friday, so we get to do Keep It 100. We love that feature.
Yeah.
Where you get to pick the music at 9 o'clock. We've also got Greg Grunberg coming in studio.
Excellent.
He stars in Paterno, which is a movie that comes out on HBO tomorrow, I want to say. He also has a podcast called An Actor, a Comedian, and a Musician Walk Into a Bar.
Wow.
It's the name of the podcast.
Okay.
Omar reviews Jersey Shore for us.
Yeah.
He thought that was an hour, and he was just tortured over it because he just really, really couldn't hate that show more.
It was 2 hours?
He texted me last night and said, this is 2 hours, period. I'm drinking, period. I think that's the only way you got through it.
Absolutely.
2 hours.
I don't think there's enough alcohol.
Paul Feig joins us in studio as well.
Excellent.
Love him so much.
Yeah.
Muggs is a drunk. Got a new story for you. It's hard to imagine that Muggs has done something new that surprises us anymore.
Oh.
But he's the gift that keeps giving.
He is.
So we're going to tell you about that coming up. An update on Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which is where a lot of the money from April Foolishness went. That was one of the charities.
Oh, excellent.
So we've got update on that. And your 3-day Coachella passes as well coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Time for our first look at what's happening with Allie.
Kevin, we haven't discussed it. Where were you and what did you feel?
Oh,
when the
earthquake
hit. Yeah.
I was by my TV, hooking something up.
All right.
And I felt a gentle rolling motion.
Okay.
Yes.
About how long did it last?
I'd say 4 to 5 seconds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did anything fall?
No.
No damage?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was light enough that I said, hey, was that an earthquake? That was my response.
It was light. Oh, light enough. Okay. Uh-huh. I thought you meant outside. I'm like, yeah,
no.
It was 12:30. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Right.
For me, by the way, if you didn't know, we had a 5.3 earthquake yesterday by Channel Islands was where it was centered. So up Ventura area.
Yeah.
And it was felt as far down like Orange County and whatnot. But it started going and I literally went, huh, is that? Huh.
Right.
It might be. Hmm. All right.
So you called the news and you said, I've got a first-hand report.
No, I tweeted and wrote, earthquake? And then everyone's like, yeah, totally felt. And we just shared, you know, as a community about what we were feeling. But don't think I didn't turn it on Channel 9 to get the first-hand accounts from people calling in. But this time, I was delighted to see them toss to video of ceiling fans that were just kind of moving.
That's
and then a light fixture that was kind of moving. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we got our first video in. Like, so excited. And then it was literally a ceiling fan. Just like, okay, really?
Like, somebody may have walked past it and...
A little gust of wind might have moved that ceiling fan. But, oh, I do enjoy it. And thank God there was no, obviously, serious damage. But...
Earthquakes
coverage.
Aren't funny, but earthquake coverage on the news
amazing.
Certainly can be because they have interview after interview after interview and the people have nothing to say.
Nothing to say. No, absolutely.
So.
It is a joy and I look forward to it.
It is quite fun.
Yeah. I did laugh too because Stryker immediately tweeted back, that's why Bonsai went nuts. That's his dog, Bonsai. Really? Well, you were with Bonsai. Did you not feel it?
Right.
Nothing.
Can we talk to his dog today?
Yes, we're going to give Bonsai a call. Absolutely. I'm usually not too fascinated by public proposals. It's just kind of like, look at me. Hey,
right.
Look at us.
A little too much of that.
But this cracked me up. Designer Marc Jacobs got engaged to his longtime boyfriend, Charlie, and he did it in big fashion. He had a flash mob. Remember those when those were big? All of a sudden, everyone starts dancing and singing a specific song. Well, this time, they were performing Prince's Kiss at a Chipotle in New York City.
Like you do.
Like you do. I mean, Marc Jacobs, one of the, fanciest, sassiest men ever.
Sure.
It's just like, let's do it at Chipotle. I kind of love that. Because really, he could have rented out anywhere.
Of course.
But maybe they just really like, burritos.
Sure.
Was yesterday National Burrito Day? Oh, I see the tie-in. I totally see the tie-in.
But here's the thing. Marc Jacobs could probably afford a burrito.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing it for, like, a free burrito. I'm just saying maybe the tie-in. I love burritos. You love burritos. I love you. Let's sync it all up. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Maybe that's not what happened, but I'm standing by it. We're going to have Omar review the New Jersey Shore. What's it called? Jersey Shore Vacation House Back Together.
Family Vacation or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Because none of us would. But I need you to stop wasting your time worrying about the state of Nicole Snooki Polizzi's marriage.
Okay.
Because everything is fine with her and Gianni. People suspected there was something wrong because she doesn't really post much about him. And I say to that, kudos for not making your family be a part of your madness, essentially. Apparently, he's not a big fan of the spotlight and isn't impressed with fame, which Snooki says humbles her. I mean,
wow.
I with these. And
if that couple were to break up, though, I would be devastated.
Finally, we find the couple that would devastate Kevin. Oh, it is so true. You know, we talked about that yesterday and people had some very interesting ones. But one we never even thought of, well, you didn't think of because you don't care and you wouldn't be devastated if anyone really
broke up. I care,
but
I don't get devastated with celebrity breakups.
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Sure, that's a good one.
So many people tweeted that. I was like, why didn't I think of them? Maybe because I just think they're so solid. It could never happen. Oh, I hope not. That's not even funny. All right, let's get to some birthdays. Actor Billy Dee Williams, Michael Rooker, Zach Braff. Have you seen his new show?
I've not. It looks funny.
So funny.
Okay,
he's
good.
So good. Actor Paul Rudd and one of my favorites, Candace Cameron Bure. Why, Allie? Hallmark Christmas movies. That's why. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Let's talk about this past Saturday night, which was April Foolishness. First of all, again, thanks to all the comedians. That was great. Second of all, again, thanks to all of you that bought tickets. That was great. And the money went to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. One of the charities was that. Mm-hmm. And we've got an update for you a little bit later on this hour on how your money is being used there. It's really, really a good thing. But I would like to talk about what happened after Foolishness, because we've never really discussed this yet.
Mm-hmm.
So after Foolishness, everybody was hanging out, and we decided to go see Marshmallow across the street at the convention center, right?
Yeah.
And Muggs, you were in on that.
I was in on that, and Dave was kind enough to get me a pass. And as you guys were leaving, you were yelling at me to hurry up because I was lagging.
Right.
But I had a bunch of stuff in my hands, like clothes, toiletries, whatever. And I said, well, you know,
were you moving in?
It looked like I was. It looked like I was. So I said, you know what, guys, just go without me because I don't want to have to carry this stuff in my arms
across
the street.
You said, I'll be right there.
Yeah, I did.
And I said, no, you won't. And we just left.
Very different.
I said, I'm going to try to make it, you guys. So just go ahead without me and I'll see you guys there.
Right.
And Dave's like, all right, cool. I'll leave the pass in your name. I'm like, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hour later. Still at the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah, what a surprise.
And
were you partaking?
Very much so, Kevin. There was open bottles of champagne backstage. There were other things being passed around.
It was so vague. How could people figure that out?
I assume baby.
Yes. So we ended up leaving the Microsoft Theater around, I would say, midnight.
All right, so it's midnight. You walk outside and you order an Uber.
Yeah, so I go onto my Uber app. Three times the surge rate.
Surge rate. Oh, yeah. Sucks.
So I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like paying $80 to go 10 miles. So let me see if the awesome K-Rock promo crew will give me a ride.
Okay.
And sure enough, they gave me a ride. They're super nice. They had to rearrange everything for me. I felt super bad.
Well, there's a lot of space in the van. No worries.
Yeah. So they shoved like a digital guy, Cody, in the back. And
we gave you a seat?
Yeah.
That's bogus.
I know.
Yeah, right?
I know.
That's Cody bogus. Worked hard Saturday.
Cody gets the seat. You did nothing but party.
Just partied. And then so we get back to K-Rock. And I was like, by this point, I was gone. I think, you know, when the alcohol starts to settle in and everything else you've taken just starts to kind of like get into your body chemistry.
I've been told that. I don't drink.
Well, I go get tacos. Get tacos right down the street from K-Rock from a taco truck. Which
okay,
is
now how do you do that? Drive?
One of the promo kids.
You didn't drive.
I didn't drive. One of the sober promo kids took me over there.
All right.
So we go eat, and then he brings me back here, and I'm...
Now what time is it when you get back to K-Rock?
It's got
to
be like 2:45, 3 in the morning.
Wow, we just lost 3 hours.
Sure did.
Yeah. Oh, no,
So you got here probably at 12:30?
Yeah, okay. 12:30, 12:45.
And you lost track of what happened in that 2 hours?
Absolutely.
All right, good.
Absolutely.
Good. So then you went to get some tacos.
So I went to get some tacos.
Right.
Came back.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting in the lobby here at K-Rock, and I'm going onto my phone, and I'm trying to get an Uber.
Right.
And I can't focus on what's in front of my face. I can't.
You can't read the Uber?
I can't read the Uber.
Oh, no.
I can't see straight. It's hard for me to, like, think.
I mean, okay. That's like normal life.
General, yeah.
Right. Yeah,
oh, you mean more so?
More so than ever.
Mugs.
I mean, it's mugs times 10.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So I ended
up... So you literally couldn't order an Uber?
I was... Kevin, if you would have seen me, I had the app open, and I was struggling so hard. I was like, I couldn't type in the... I didn't know where
Why
I was going.
Why didn't you ask anyone else that was here to type it in for you?
I think I was by myself.
What about the sober drive? What?
There were everybody left me, by the way. I forgot to mention that part.
Well, you're a grown-ass man. I would go home and think, Muggs has this handled. He'll get an Uber. Head home.
You did forget to mention that, though. So there was no one else here that could help you.
Yeah, everybody left.
Okay, all right. So now you can't order an Uber because you can't focus on your phone.
I can't focus on my phone. I can't think for myself.
Uh-huh.
I can't function.
Okay, good.
So what do? I find this really nice, quiet place in the corner of the building.
Uh-huh.
Here at K-Rock?
Here at K-Rock.
Uh-huh.
And I just call it a night. I just...
And you slept here?
I slept here at the station.
Oh, Muggs.
In my clothes from that night?
Sure.
Well, obviously.
I hope. The alternatives are scary.
Naked
or maybe the
naked mugs. We need to check video.
You know, honestly, I was thinking the Britney Spears outfit. I figured he had that with him. I didn't go straight to naked mugs. All right.
So
you fall asleep here at the station.
I fall asleep here at the station.
And then the next morning is Easter.
Cut to 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up and I'm walking out of the room that I slept in.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a long, hard look at myself and my life. Allie actually called it, since it was Easter Sunday, it was like the resurrection.
Yeah,
a beer mug.
Risen.
I had risen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, all right, well, now it's time to go home. All right. It's, you know, it's good. Let me get on my Uber app.
Look, rough night.
Rough night.
But all right, I made it. No worries. Had to spend the night at the station. Not my first plan, but okay.
Yeah. You make do sometimes.
Sure.
Go on my Uber app. Surge rate is still in effect. Yeah. So ended up paying like $65 to go to Hollywood.
Sweet.
And smelled terrible in the same clothes that I wore the night before, but it was all worth it, you guys. It was all worth it.
It doesn't sound like you had that much fun after Foolishness, but okay.
The tacos were good.
All right.
The tacos.
Look,
were good.
You keep doing what you're doing.
I will.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We welcome now to the studio Christine, our assistant producer.
Hey,
Christine.
Guys.
How
Good
are
morning.
You?
Christine.
So we did April Foolishness, and all of the comedians were nice enough to donate their time on a night when they could be making huge dollars.
Yep.
And everybody that bought tickets, thank you. And we had two charities, and we'd like to update you on one of them right now.
So the proceeds from this year's April Foolishness benefit Cedars-Sinai NICU and a new group this year that we're working with called the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. If you guys are familiar with any of these military charities, you might know that this is a sister group of the group that we've been supporting for the past couple of years called the Fisher House,
mm-hmm.
which we just love this organization. This family, the Fisher family, who founded these organizations, saw this incredible need for military families for when you have a soldier who's getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific hospitals around the country where you would have to send them to where they deal with that specialty.
I didn't know this until we started working with Fisher House, that if it's a burn that you get in the military, they don't send you near your house. They have to send you to a specific location to get mm-hmm. treated there. And then so Fisher House helps the family come stay and be close.
Yeah. And if you think about it, that could be sometimes months, years mm-hmm. of treatment. And so what do you do if you have, you know, you're married, you have a young child, or you don't have the money? So that's what the Fisher House does. It allows families to stay together while they're being treated for these incredibly serious injuries. Then they built all the local Southern California Fisher houses. So we were like, we're looking for a new group. And we found out about Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. And they also are a private organization. This is a nonprofit that takes money from people like the people who come to April Foolishness. And they build these incredible centers across the country. So right now their focus is on building these Intrepid Spirit Centers that focus on traumatic brain injury, and which is a huge problem affecting all, like, service members.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not just people who've been in, you know, a severe accident or incident. This is, they were saying things like they're just now learning about the effects of, like, training and how certain activities could have lasting effects on people's brains. And so, you know, before, like you said, if there was a traumatic brain injury, you'd have to go to, like, Walter Reed. So what do? You just uproot yourself to the East Coast for how long? And without your family, without your friends. And yeah. So they built a center recently in Washington and this one in Camp Pendleton. And it was incredible. Like, you just see that.
You went down there Wednesday?
I think so.
Morning?
Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday? Yes.
I don't know.
And, and you... You understand, like, you can't believe that this didn't exist before, where there is a centralized location where somebody with, you know, severe traumatic brain injury could go, where they can get physical rehabilitation, where they can get psychological, all across many disciplines, psychological help. You can do things like having creative arts therapy. And I was really fascinated by their music therapy program.
Oh, is that right?
And you start to think about all the different types of ways that, you know, you would need to try to heal someone's brain. They had some people talk about their personal experiences coming back. You know, you're fine. You have nothing got blown up. You know, you didn't lose a limb, but you cannot function. Suddenly you're irritable. You're not the same person. And, you know, you can't see the effects of your,
right,
your trauma on your brain, mm-hmm, and realizing how for the rest of your life you could have permanent effects. And so having something like this was incredible. It was beautiful, a beautiful center and a place I think that people could go to get the support and also education that is kind of lacking.
Sounds really moving.
Really moving, yeah. I definitely teared up a couple of times.
You would have too, Allie.
No,
for
sure. I sobbed the whole time. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it was really, really an incredible experience.
That's great. Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund is the name of it, and the Twitter is Intrepid Heroes. I think.
Oh my gosh, I don't.
I'm sorry.
That
I think that's
me.
It. Yeah.
But you're going to be posting some of the stories from when you were there, correct?
Yes. And you can go to fallenheroesfund.org as well.
There you go. So thank you again to all the comedians. Thank you for everybody that bought tickets. That is where your money goes, and we're very happy about that. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
Omar is here. Yeah. He was very, very excited about Jersey Shore.
I'm a little hungover, guys.
I think you're still a little drunk.
Yeah.
I got a text from Omar last night, and it was not a happy one.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was when he... learned, because Omar despises Jersey Shore, and yeah, so we said, then he's the guy that needs to review it for us.
And my wife loves it, so I knew it was going to be on at my house.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you guys were like, okay, Omar, yeah, you hate it, you're going to recap it.
I mean, right. So.
Right. So, I sit down with my wife, and I tell her, I can't get through this without drinking.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of new craft beers that I bought. I got the one with the highest alcohol content.
Nice.
And
nice.
I went pretty hard.
Okay.
Yeah, I went pretty hard. And but towards the end, uh-huh, it's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm in. It was super funny.
Wow. I feel like maybe that's the only way to watch that show.
Yeah, totally. So the Jersey Shore cast is back, and it's a Jersey Shore family vacation, and they're all going to Miami.
Okay.
We have Snooki and JWoww. Now they're both married. They both have some kids. Mm-hmm. We have Pauly D, who's, by all accounts, is probably the one that has the more money. He's doing really well. He lives in Vegas. He's, mm-hmm, DJing all over the world. They show his pad, and, I mean, it's a legit mansion.
Yeah.
Really?
He's driving a Rolls Royce.
Oh, goodness.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's
also
crazy.
Also plugging in his iPod?
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, that's very true. Dina's married, and the bombshell is that there's no Sammy this season.
What?
There's no Sammy. And Sammy.
Not
and
Sammy.
Yeah, it was Sammy and Ronnie were like the Ross and Rachel of the Jersey Shore.
Oh, Sammy's a girl.
Sammy's a girl.
Yes.
Got it.
Right. So they were always fighting, but she's wants to be in a better place, so she doesn't want
Sammy
anything to do with the Jersey Shore shenanigans, okay?
Okay.
That's probably a wise decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the situation is back.
Sure.
Sure. Or is he? Because situation has a situation.
Going through a serious court case, United States versus. And they even have the nickname, the situation on the paperwork. So crazy. I've battled Ronnie. I've been punched in the face by JWoww. I've took on a concrete wall in Italy. But now, United States versus the situation. That is an adversary, man, that you just don't want to see.
I do.
I'm happy about this. Well, for what?
Totally.
For what?
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
What an idiot.
So I hope he goes down.
Like years of tax evasion, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. So, but the situation is not the situation that we grew to know and love.
What?
He's sober 2 years now.
Oh, well, what's the fun of this show then?
He is actually more pleasant and really likable now.
Oh.
Does he still refer to himself as the situation?
He is the situation still. Okay. So, but he's, I got to be honest with you, he's so likable now.
That's not
what
possible.
What has happened to Omar?
It's right?
What was in that beer?
I know. I am still drunk, right? Here, check this out.
Since the last time you've seen the situation, I was pretty much just a shell of the person I am today. Today, the situation lives with integrity. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't drug. I'm a top man's today.
All right, let me just say this. Yeah. When you call yourself the situation, you're a douchebag still.
Yeah.
He didn't say that he's not a douchebag.
Yeah, but I think at this point now, he can't not call, you know what I mean?
Sure,
he has to call himself. No, he's the situation, man.
Sure, okay.
You don't get it, dude.
All right. I need your beer.
So Ronnie is working out with Pauly D in Vegas, and he drops this bombshell.
I have a baby on the way.
What? What?
Yeah, I'm having a kid, bro.
Regardless of whether you marry this girl, whether you stay with this girl, you need to take care of your child. You're with that child for life.
Yeah.
I'm not with the baby mother, but I'm with my daughter for life, and that's my whole life.
I'll always be husband, boyfriend, but I'll never be father.
Yeah, right. You're going to be a crappy dad. You hear that end of that clip? He's going to be a SE husband, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's going to be a SE boyfriend, right. Without a doubt.
Yeah. But he'll turn it all around and be a great dad.
Sure.
Okay. He's going to be an awful father.
Now, is that the one that was dating Sammy?
Yeah.
That's probably why she's not coming on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and Vinny, who has this weird pube beard now. I mean, he has a pube beard, has been working out nonstop.
Okay.
I guess he's like looking to get like super ripped. And this is a clip of him saying goodbye to his mom. And it's very strange.
Getting ready to go.
Getting skinnier by the day, Vinny.
That's right. Skinny Vinny. You know they call me, right? Tito Guido.
As long as you don't lose your butt. You always had a beautiful butt. Yeah, you have. Where is it, man? Oh, my God, you lost your butt.
What's going on?
What's happening
know.
There?
I
that's,
don't know.
That's his mom?
That's his mom.
What about your butt? Let me see your butt.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
It's weird. So now they're in Miami, and they're still all super annoying, the girls especially. They have a mansion in Miami,
right
by the water. It is amazing. And this is them getting to the place.
Our backyard is amazing. We have an ocean view. We have a pool, so we can always like sit out here and contemplate life.
I can't wait to pee in it!
What?
Yes, I can't wait to pee in it.
She can't wait to pee in it,
is what she said.
That's a Snooki right there.
Mm. Oh, of course.
Okay. And right. Snooki is so Snooki. She has two kids and married and hasn't matured a bit. And she's still
great
parties.
To hear.
You know what? I think I like watching this because this makes me feel better about me.
I think most reality shows people watch because there's
Agreed.
This sense of, all right, I'm doing better than
really?
These losers.
Because I don't watch reality TV show at all.
At least I'm not them. That's what you think. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, of course. No wonder I'm in. Because I feel so good about my life right now. Pauly D is there, and he's bummed that Sammy isn't there. So he brings a surprise in for everybody.
It makes me feel sad that we don't have everybody here. We're on a vacation. It's Miami. I want to be happy. So I have a surprise for the house.
What the f*** is that? There's a f***ing dead body in there. We're already criminals. That's great.
Oh, hey, Sam. Yo, Ronnie, what the
f***? Oh, my.
Listen.
If you're not a Guido, then you can get the f*** out of my face.
He brings in a life-size mannequin with a voice box, a replica of Sammy. for the house.
Oh.
It is bizarre.
Yeah.
It is weird. And people start groping on it and like posing with it.
I need a few more drinks at that moment.
It's pretty ridiculous. But everybody's still wondering if the situation is going to be allowed to come to Miami because he's still, you know, in all his court troubles,
right?
Whatever that's called. So this is here we find out.
Situation's coming to Miami, buddy.
Thank God, because I would have left. Like, we can't do this without Mike. We need him,
right?
No,
it's not possible to do it without Mike.
Because you just put these people and infuse alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah,
you're good. That's all you need. So, of course, in the Jersey Shore, you go to the club. That's what you do.
Of course.
Every episode is you go to the club and you get drunk. And Vinny has a strange way of partying at the club.
I haven't been out in a long time. So I'm like, I have to beat the beat up. I do this thing where, like, as the beat's building up, there's like a locked door in front of me. And I'm like getting really frustrated. The beat's building. I start pounding on the door. And as soon as the beat drops, I kick the door open and I start going in there like a madman and everyone in the room up.
It's the dumbest thing I have ever seen. It is amazing. It's so dumb.
Oh.
I mean, the guy is smashed.
Yeah.
Smashed.
But how did his butt look for his mom?
It was gone.
Okay.
Yeah. But he wasn't as drunk as Snooki.
Oh, Snooki.
So Nicole went from like fun Nicole to crazy drunk, nasty Nicole. I mean, she can barely stand up straight. When her eyes start separating, it's like a bat signal in our house. Like, wrap it up. Let's go in the cab right now. Let's go. I'm putting her in. Oh, my God.
And she's down. This vacation is going to be the biggest show Miami has ever seen.
She's so drunk. She falls. By the way, that's like the third time she fell over during the show.
Oh, dear.
She got a brand new set of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she got them too big that her balance is all off.
It's like a weevil wobble, but she does fall.
Yeah, she falls over. And she's just a hot mess.
Oh,
hot mess. But I feel so good about my life.
So you're all in now.
So that's only the first hour.
Okay.
Hour two.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't have time for hour two.
We don't have time for hour two, but I watched the assholes, but Ruben forgot to record it here.
Oh, that's too bad.
So just to let you know what happened, Snooki does pee in the pool.
Okay, good.
And I'm not going to be able to bring you the audio from Ronnie taking a big old poop and clogging the toilet and getting a bunch of poop on his shoes. That's an hour two.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to get to bring that to you.
I feel like we're all right, and Ruben gets a raise.
I think we all win.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Radio.com.
Paul Feig joins us in studio.
Well, hello.
How are you, my friend?
I am thrilled to be here. I'm so happy to see you guys.
We're thrilled to have you as well. You're a director, writer, you're the executive producer of the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale.
Yes, on Netflix.
Very excited to have that show back.
Oh, it's such a
because I loved it so much. Now, Allie was just talking to you before the record ended about you being the sole reason it's back.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm a self-declared biggest fan of The Soup and of Joel McHale. And when that show went off the air, we watched it religiously forever.
I did?
Yeah, even from back when it was Talk Soup. But then the Joel years were I just loved that. And, I always wanted to be on it and never could get on. And then suddenly towards the end of their run, I got on a couple of times. And then the show got canceled, which was probably my fault.
So you got to take it off the air and put back on.
See, that's exactly. I destroy and I build back up. And so the minute it got canceled, I just calling my agents, everybody going like, we got to get the show back. Can we buy the rights to it? What can we do? And it says, no, you can't. He owns it, blah, blah, blah. And so.
Who owns it, Joel?
E owns it.
Oh, E owns it. Sorry, okay.
And so just like, well, we don't need the suit back. Let's just have Joel making fun of clips.
Right.
I just want that back. And it was like a year and a half trying, and then finally it was like, I don't know if we're able to do this. And then I was walking in my neighborhood, and K.P. Anderson, who is the exec producer of the soup.
Of the soup, yeah.
He lives in my neighborhood, and we ran into each other, and I was like, well, what do we do? And he said, well, weirdly, I just was talking to Joel the other day, and he's saying he might want to do another show like that.
I was
like, what do we do? And so, yeah, we took it out, and Netflix jumped right on it.
So this is how that this is how it happens in Hollywood.
Yes.
Just walking
you happen
on your street.
To be in the neighborhood.
Yeah, walking my dog.
Near, you live near a guy
yeah.
who used that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. If only I lived near Spielberg, you know. My God.
Think what you could accomplish.
Oh man. Change the world.
Since E owned it, I obviously they own the name, they own that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Do they also own Spaghetti Cat? Or will we ever
yeah.
see? Oh,
I'm afraid Spaghetti
man.
Cat belongs to them, I know.
Well, how about like Fettuccine Dog?
Well, they don't own Pizza Ghost, which if you've
Done.
Seen the show,
Done.
Pizza
yes.
Ghost is
amazing.
One of my new favorites.
It's amazing.
A bizarre thing which
yeah.
companies own
it's,
what.
It's creepy and amazing.
It's really strange.
Look, that's just a vault. It's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it's all like Pizza Cat. And Spaghetti Cat. I just.
So you said you took it to Netflix and they jumped on it immediately.
Yeah, yeah. They were very aggressive in wanting it. You know, we took it around a lot of places, but they were just like, we love the show.
There was a lot of talk about E at the end when they told Joel to stop making fun of the Kardashians. That was sort of like,
yeah,
that's when Joel sort of knew it was over.
I don't think they ever liked the show, really.
Oh, I assume they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, look, you have to have a sense of humor about
of course,
yourself. And the
course.
Great thing about Netflix is they have so many shows and we get to have the stars of their shows on and they're more than happy to have us make fun of them.
Yeah, exactly. They're fine. They play along with it. Joel does bits inside Netflix and
yeah.
everything. I mean,
oh,
it's pretty
yeah.
it's pretty bizarre.
It's a blast.
Let's talk about some of the guests that you've had on the show so far, or he's had on the show so far,
yeah.
both of you. Billy Eichner and Kristen Bell and Eric yep. Bana and Seth Green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy.
It's so much fun. And then we had Drew Barrymore mm-hmm. on, and then we just taped, spoiler alert, we taped the episode that goes on Sunday, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, look at that.
He's very, very funny.
Excellent. Does he do any...
Oh, you'll just have to wait and see, my fine friend.
I want him to build that volcano that I made as a kid. That's probably not on par with what Bill's
That's probably
doing
not going right to be what happens.
He's at the next level now.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
So what is your participation in the show? You're the executive producer. Do you help write it? Do you help?
I'm one of the exec producers, yeah. and I'm there whenever I can be, just because it's my favorite place to be. And so, but, you know, they have this amazing team of writers and people finding clips, and they have it down to such a science that I just kind of come in and disrupt things and go, hey, try this joke. And they're like, all right, thanks.
Nothing you know, new.
Yeah.
Thanks for the assist getting on the air, but we're good.
Exactly. And then they write me really humiliating bits to do on the air. So,
amazing.
Yes, which an Arizona Diamondback paper yesterday said they loved the show, but that my bits were excruciatingly unfunny.
Oh, so, no.
I take that
wow.
as a badge of honor.
All right.
Kevin, talk to your people in Arizona.
Yeah, that's
They're
right.
They're not my people. I'm from there, but it doesn't mean anyone listens to me. Your show is refreshingly Trump-free.
Yes.
Is that a decision you sat down and made, or it just happens?
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, all of us, you know, and Joel heads this all up, you know, just because he's such the tastemaker on this. We just want to make fun of the media. And so,
right.
I mean, if there was something about Trump that was really about how he was covered, we'd make fun of it. But we just also felt like, let's just have, you know, we're so, he's everywhere. He's
right.
all over us and in our lives. And it's just like, let's just have the places where we can go and have fun. And you know, also we're very international. The show goes out to 190 countries. And so we've
wow.
had so much fun, yeah, finding international clips to make fun of. And some of the stuff we have found is so crazy.
Do they interpret it into every single one of those languages?
I believe so, or at least they subtitle it. Yeah, so, but it goes everywhere except like China, I think, and one other tiny country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're everywhere.
That's crazy.
Look
All
out,
right.
Joel is everywhere.
It's called the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, and it's on Sundays.
Yes.
And for how long? It's another
Well, we our initial episodes? Order was 13, but we're pushing hard to just keep it going.
All right.
It should be out every week.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you're not going to be happy until it's on every single week.
I will certainly not be happy until that.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll be right back with Paul Feig.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
Paul Feig is in the studio with us. He's the executive producer of The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on Netflix, which comes on every Sunday.
Yes, that's right. New episode drops right at midnight, Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I think when most people think of Paul, they think of Bridesmaids, The Heat, Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
Spy.
Yes.
Oh. Love all of those. Or one of my favorites, Freaks and Geeks.
Thank
what
you.
I don't think of when I think of Paul Feig is a thriller.
Mm-hmm. But what, you saying I'm not thrilling?
No, I'm saying I think of you as like a scary murdery guy, but now that's all I want to know is Paul Feig scary murdery guy.
Yes, I've committed several. No, no, my new movie is a thriller. It's very exciting. It's called A Simple Favor.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
Oh, my.
All right. And they are so fantastic in this movie. It comes out in a while. It comes out September 14th. But Can start banging the drum now.
Absolutely. What drew you to produce and direct a thriller?
You know what? We got sent this script to produce, and I read it, and I just fell in love with it. I like working in genres. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at my movies, they all tend to be genres of cop film or a spy film or all that. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to do like a Hitchcockian sort of thriller with twists and turns. And this was such a great script because it had all that, but it also made me laugh because it's just the characters are really extreme. And but, you know, but in a, like a real way, almost kind of like, you know, kind of a Fargo-ish sort of way.
Okay.
And just jumped on it and said, I want to direct it. And we went off to Toronto and shot it. And here we go.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Do you ever have thoughts of, this is a different genre and I don't want to screw it up? Or maybe I won't be able to pull it off?
Well, you always have a little bit of that. I mean, that's I loved when I was directing mostly television because, you know, you get hired for a show and you go, like, I've never shot, like, a hospital show. And then suddenly I get offered to do Nurse Jackie. But then you go, well, cool, let's just go and learn.
Just learn and do
it. Yeah, and I love that. I like to challenge myself. Like, what I never want to do is sort of, like, the same type of movie each time.
You
want to kind of change it up. And genres are fun because they're just, there's so many different tropes that are established that then you can kind of twist and turn.
You haven't done a Christmas movie after the one you put me in.
Well, how could I top that? Nice work. Yes.
We discussed that on the air because I just wasn't watching it. I don't know what was wrong with me. I had this block, like, I don't want to see myself in a movie. And people were like, have you looked at the cast list in that movie? It's everyone you love. Watch it.
See?
So I watched it and I did a review here.
Oh.
At K-Rock of Unaccompanied Minors. It is delightful.
Well,
what a lovely little Christmas movie.
Aren't you lovely? Thank you. So wait, you were in it and you haven't watched it until just now?
I was nervous.
Well, you're like the biggest movie star. Like, they're always like, I don't watch myself.
Exactly.
Look at you. You've got movie star potential.
That's how I deal with my art.
I have a clip if you would like me to play it. I have a clip.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
This is easily the storm of the century. Worst blizzard we've seen.
10-foot drifts. And then after Christmas, head up to Hoover International Airport for the first ever unclaimed baggage warehouse sale. You never know what you might find. Clothes, toys, electronics. If someone's lost it, you can buy it. And also,
no, did you bite your tongue again?
I mean,
come on.
The screen came alive,
right? I'm not sure how I didn't get an Oscar.
Now, do you remember we ran through everything and we had at one take, we had you crying because your husband had left you and it was just you and your cat?
It was very emotional.
Not in real life.
That was just wanted me to do. Yeah. Paul watched me on the news in Salt Lake City when he was shooting Unaccompanied Minors and then called and was like, hey, do you want to be in this movie? And then I was like, that can't be the same guy from Freaks and Geeks, can it? Like, just randomly calling a news station?
No, because when you're shooting a movie, you have to get up so early. And so every morning I just turn on the TV and you'd always be on doing some really funny remote. And I was like, she's so funny. And we just, like, my wife and I both, like, fell in love with you. And I was like, I got to put her in the movie. And there you were.
Look at that.
When Paul Feig puts you in your first, and let's be honest, only movie, what a joy.
You know, I just want you to go out on top. That's what I mean.
We were going to ask what happened.
That's right.
What happened there? There seemed to be some momentum.
We'll do it again. We're going to do it again.
Right.
We will.
You tried. You may not even remember this. You tried with Parks and Rec.
I do remember this.
It was, they couldn't get me out of there fast enough.
Is that
right? I was not.
You auditioned?
I was embarrassed for myself. And I was like, I am wasting your time. This is one of my favorite shows, and I shouldn't be here.
No.
But they were
please.
Lovely and nice.
They are nice.
Paul, you arranged that or made some introductions or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's casting is my favorite thing in the world.
It is.
Because, you just get to find great new people, or you go, oh, well, this person I love, I want to try them in this. And, you know, you try it, and sometimes you go, okay, that's not quite right, but I'm going to use them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting. I'm just finished today. I have to go from here to the set, finishing the last day of shooting this new pilot for Freeform, currently called Girls Code. We're going to change the name. But we found, like, the greatest cast from everywhere. And it's just so exciting to, you know, find new people and get them on camera. And you're like, oh, my God, they're so funny. And it's just the funniest group of ladies.
It seems like that could be a super frustrating experience, though, if you've seen 1,000 people.
I'm right here.
And you just, you can't use Alec, clearly. So,
well, you know what it is? What's exciting about it is, and frustrating at the same time, because, you know, you have a great casting director who brings in great people, but you just see so many people. And what happens is, having been an actor, like, I have such sympathy for people who are auditioning, so I want it to be a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
But every person, you're like, yeah, okay, that was good. Yeah, so I'm always kind of keep this list like, yeah, they could be good. But then it could be that day. It could be, you know, after weeks, somebody comes in and just like, bam, and they're so great. And you just go like, all right, that's it. But it's really exciting because when you just wait for that moment.
When they're terrible, though, you have to act, don't you? You have to go, oh, you, yeah, that's, that was a good effort.
You know, I'm fortunate that I don't see a lot of people who aren't. But there are times when you just, they literally walk in and you're like, you're not right. And but you almost wanted to be that moment of the original producers, like, you know, the little wooden boy. Next, you know.
So. Now, I noticed on your IMDb that it has been announced that you are doing sequels to Spy 2 and The Heat 2, and I got so excited, started Googling. It's not true,
is it? It's all not true, exactly.
Oh, IMDb!
IMDb is, God bless them, I like them over there, but the things, it tends not to be that accurate. But I will say, I mean, that or they have such insider info, because there is a script for The Heat, too.
So maybe you haven't been told yet, and everybody else knows.
Right.
Maybe they're shooting it right now somewhere else.
Oh, no, I would not be surprised. With another direction. No, Katie Dippold wrote an amazingly funny sequel to The Heat.
I love The Heat.
But it's just kind of sitting there. And then Spy, we're not sure, but I'm desperate to do another one, so. You never know.
Oh, well, we hope so on both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Paul Feig, we love having you in.
Love being here.
You're a friend of the show. We appreciate when you come in. Catch the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on Netflix. Like Paul said, it drops on Sundays, which means Saturday night at midnight every week. So.
Exactly. New one with Bill Nye the Science Guy and me doing something stupid at the end.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Right now, Allie is here. What's happening?
How would you like to see Bad Religion at a super intimate space? Chip just raised her hand. Yes, please.
I feel like it's you'll never get a bad Religion show.
No. They're always great. Could see them at one of the most iconic and, dare I say, one of my favorite places in Los Angeles, you're going to leap at the chance.
Sure.
Because legendary LA punk group Bad Religion will be playing the Troubadour on Wednesday, May 2nd. Tickets go on sale at noon today via Ticketfly. $35 each plus some service fees. There's a four limit per credit card, that type of thing. They do good work there because there is no reselling of tickets there.
It doesn't seem
They do a good job.
I think it's a small enough venue that they can.
Yeah.
A lot of bigger places, they have a time problem with it.
I will say this. Warning for anyone going to see a show at the Troubadour. Don't bring gum because when you open your purse for security, they take that gum out and they put it up on a little ledge right by the front door. Mm-hmm. And there's just stacks of packages of gum.
But if you need gum, you can also take from
also,
that.
You can also, leave when you leave the show. All the gum is there. I was like, no, I just got this experiment. The guy's like, man, no gum allowed in the venue. I learned that the hard way. But then I saw Psychedelic Furs and everything
was right.
I told you about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So again, Bad Religion, show at the Troubadour Wednesday, May 2nd. Tickets go on sale today at noon via Ticketfly. Get on that. Wow. Arctic Monkeys. We haven't heard from them in about 5 years. So they have a new album coming out. It's going to come out on May 11th. It's called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. And they put out the track list yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And people were confused by some of the tracks. All right, let me just read a few of them so you're like, all right, interesting. Star Treatment.
Okay.
One Point Perspective.
Okay.
Golden Trunks.
Okay.
The World's First Ever Monster Truck Front Flip.
That's a song title?
That's track 7.
Okay.
The World's First Ever Monster Truck Front Flip. She looks like fun. Bat Phone. And wrapping it all up with track 11, The Ultra Cheese. But Alex.
That sounds like someone's having some fun.
That's what I think.
Sounds like somebody's just being funny.
But I do really want to hear the world's first ever monster trunk front flip.
Right?
Right?
Same.
Absolutely. So, that first album in 5 years will be out on May 11th.
I like that, Ben.
I do too. Very, very good. You like the Frozen?
I mean, not as much.
Not as much as if you had little girls right now.
Sure.
Well, get ready for another round of Elsa, Olaf, and Sven. Because Frozen 2 is making its way to theaters. Kristen Bell told Ellen that she's already recorded her parts for the sequel. She can't say a lot because, quote, Disney has people everywhere. But she promises that it's very good. By the way, the original movie made a whopping $1.25 billion worldwide.
That's insane.
That's an insane amount of numbers. Right there.
It is an insane amount of numbers.
If you look at 1.25 billion
it's
in
a lot
numbers,
of, right?
It's a lot.
There's a lot of them.
Thank you.
Happy to help.
Andrew Taggart from the Chainsmokers is not Liam Payne. That did not stop him, however, from posing for pictures and selfies outside of Craig's in West Hollywood, where apparently a lot of people thought he was Liam Payne.
That is strange.
And my favorite part of this is he even answered questions about the future of One Direction and when they might be getting back together. I mean, go with it, right?
I love that. Why not?
How much fun. I enjoyed hearing about that. Would you watch a docuseries about Lorena Bobbitt? Remember her?
She cut off her husband's penis?
Sure did.
No,
yeah.
I don't think I would.
With a little kitchen knife.
I don't think so.
What if I told you Jordan Peele is behind it?
Yes.
All right, see, we're back in.
All in.
Jordan's 4-part documentary will put a, quote, fresh perspective on the event, and one which will give Lorena a platform to tell her side of the story. He is dipping his toe in everything.
He sure is.
And rightfully so. Mm-hmm.
After Get Out?
Yeah, he can do anything.
Even before Get Out. Loved him. Love everything he does.
Talented man. Good guy. Steve Harvey and his wife Marjorie are taking a little bit of heat. His wife dropped the R word during a cooking segment. Mm-hmm. And apparently Steve Harvey was worried about her cutting a beet. And she commented, "I'm sitting here arguing with my husband because clearly he thinks I'm..." than the R word.
Mm-hmm.
So advocates for people with developmental disabilities lit into the couple. Like, that's not a word to use anymore. It's not something that you do. It's dehumanizing. It's a slight. And one of my favorite things is when people double down on their wrongness. Enter Steve Harvey.
Uh-oh.
Who said, "What you tripping about? It's a word, ain't it?" Then said, "People are just looking for something to be pissed off about because we ain't, and I wrote it, R." So he doubled down and used the word again. And wow.
It's sort of a weird thing in culture when words become unusable anymore.
Right.
Because it's strange that for most of my life, that word was fine.
Sure.
Now it has changed and it's sort of like, don't use that word anymore.
People are a little more aware now.
Yeah.
I mean, how often would you use gay as like a sort of, not even a slur, just calling your
I
friend
hate to
like,
say
you're
it.
So gay.
Used to all the time.
Absolutely.
And people who listen to this show know we used to all the time.
Times change.
Yeah.
You adapt with the times. Mm-hmm. It's not going to kill you not to say the R word, Steve Harvey.
You can think of some other word.
Yeah. I can think of a lot of words for Steve Harvey at this point. But that's neither here nor there.
That's what
it
is.
Right? Remember Heidi Montag? Heidi and Spencer, The Hills?
I mean, sort of. I don't want to.
Well, she wants the world to know that a perfect nose, body, or boobs isn't worth your life.
Okay.
Because it turns out she died for a minute after undergoing 10 plastic surgery procedures in one day.
What?
Back in 2009. It doesn't list what they are, but... at what point would a doctor say, "Oh, you know what? While I'm doing your boobs, let me just do a little tightening up here. Let me fix your nose."
I doubt it was the doctor that made that call. I'm sure she
A doctor can say no.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying he didn't go. I'm sure she wasn't out and he went, "You know what I could fix? Those cheekbones."
Oh, see, you haven't been to many doctors in L.A. I walk in to get, like, a mole looked at. They're like, "You happy with your nose?"
Right,
no.
But I'm saying they have to run it by you. That's my point. They don't do it when you're out.
Oh, no.
No,
oh,
no, no.
Oh, no.
Nine. That is insane.
Ten. This happened in 09, though. Yeah, apparently her bodyguards, which is another part of the story that's unbelievable, had to call Spencer and say her heart stopped and she might not make it.
Wow.
Unreal.
I mean, not a surprise, though.
That she's
10
had that.
Surgeries?
Oh,
just,
sure.
I mean, that's an insane amount to do in one day.
That's a lot of to put on your
heart. Right.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just glad she made it out.
Same.
And
she's doing what she's doing, which is really good.
We don't know
what
it is,
doing.
But I'm sure she's happy.
Right.
Some birthdays for you. Candace Cameron Bure, Paul Rudd, Zach Braff, Michael Rooker, and Billy Dee Williams. And that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-R-O-Q.
A week from today, Coachella Weekend 1 happens. And we've got a pair of sold-out 3-day passes to Weekend 1 and your exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella house. So we've got those up for grabs. How we're doing it today
is Beat Beer Mug.
It's time to be beer mug. It's time to be beer mug. It's time to be beer mug. Let's beat him to death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure we want to beat him to death.
What, and why is Dave holding a mini baseball bat in his hand?
Because it's time to be beer mug.
No, not
beer
with
mug.
A freaking right. baseball
hey,
bat.
You heard that guy. He said to death.
Right? God. He did say that. That's
damn.
True.
Baseball season.
Oh. Right? All right, so what's going to happen is Allie's going to ask a question, and then Muggs is going to have to come up with an answer, and it's a number. And all you have to do is say, is Muggs dead on, which he will never be, let's be honest, or is the actual answer higher or lower? So that's all you have to do as a contestant. Our first contestant is Angela from Glendora. Hi there, Angela.
Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for listening and holding. All right, Allie's going to ask a question, Muggs is going to answer, and then you say higher or lower.
Bring it on.
Okay.
All right, Angela. Last year's Coachella Festival with headliners Radiohead, Kendrick Lamar, and Lady Gaga, who stepped in for Beyonce, was attended by how many people?
Honestly, I wasn't even paying attention. I'm looking at Omar and Dave that are ready to
seems to be the wrong
me.
Conversation. How many people attended Coachella last year?
201,000 people.
All right, Angela, is that straight dead on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say higher.
You would be correct.
You are correct.
250,000 people attended Coachella last year.
Beat nicely done. Right?
No headshots.
Oh,
God
take it easy.
It.
Headshots are fine.
No, they're not.
Just go with the kidney shot. All
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Robert in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hello.
Muggs, we're all having a good time here, man.
Yeah.
Try
great,
to roll with
great
it.
Great time.
All right, hold on, Robert. Here's the question.
Speaking of last year's Coachella Festival, how much money did it gross?
Muggs, how much money?
$5 million.
Oh, okay. Robert, is that the exact answer or is the real answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go with higher.
Yes, by quite a bit.
Yeah, $114.6 million.
All? Yeah.
Beat beer mug, right?
Yes.
Beat
him!
There you go.
Christ.
Nice work.
Get off! Come on!
Right.
Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're giving away 3-day passes for Coachella. We're doing it with Beat Beer Mug. Here's your question from Allie.
The first Coachella was way back in 1999. Beck, Chemical Brothers, Tool, Morrissey, Rage Against the Machine. It was also a 2-day event. How much were tickets for each day?
How much were tickets for each day, Beer Mug?
$40.
Rudy, is that correct? Were they more expensive or less expensive?
I would say higher.
Higher is correct, yes.
You would be right. $50.
Pretty close, though.
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty close.
So.
Still, beat beer mug. Still happens. Yep. All right. Yeah. Let's
kidney.
Go to...
I'm not wearing a kidney belt.
Dave's calling it out before he does it. Kidney. Benjamin from Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hey, gang.
Welcome. You ready to play for your tickets for Coachella?
I sure am.
All right, here's your question.
All right, Indio is the host city for Coachella, but to avoid disturbing local residents, there's a curfew for music. It's 1 a.m. on Friday and Saturdays, and then midnight on Sunday. And Golden Voice must pay a fine for each minute the festival exceeds the curfew. What is that fine per minute?
$10,000.
All right, $10,000. Benjamin, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say lower.
You would be right.
That's correct.
$1,000 a minute.
Beat beer mug.
But they make $100 million.
Beat up! Beat up! Beat up!
Seems a little low. Seems a little low. That fine.
Because they make. You were just going to say because they made $114 million
yeah.
last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's ticket sales,
she
food,
said gross.
Everything.
No. She said gross. And by the way, she did the research. What are you going to argue with her just because it seems low to you?
That's why I don't run concerts.
Yeah.
I guess.
All right, let's go to Brianna in Alyssa Viejo. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good. Very well. Thank you. Here's your question.
All right, Brianna. Eminem is the Sunday night headliner this year. How old is Eminem?
Muggs.
48.
Brianna, higher, lower, or is that right?
Lower.
Lower is correct.
He is 45 years old.
I could have gotten that one. Jesus Christ! Kidney! Oh, come on!
All right, let's go to Andrew in Los Angeles. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Barbie, how's it going?
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening and holding on. Here's your question.
All right, speaking of Eminem, he released the Slim Shady LP in February of 1999. It was one of the year's most popular albums. How many copies did it sell in its first week?
Slim Shady LP, first week, I'm going to go 1 million.
1 million.
He went platinum.
All right, Andrew, in the first week.
In the first week.
Is the actual answer higher, lower, or is that right?
Lower?
Lower, yes. 283,000, yes. Well done.
Beat me wrong. Oh! Oh! Beat him! All right, can we pick a winner?
We have one more.
Jesus. One more. I'm sorry, Muggs, really? But we have time for one more. Yeah, if you don't mind. Let's go to Samantha in Palos Verdes. Hi there. Welcome.
Hey, Samantha. Indio is known for their hot days and cool nights. What is the average high temperature in Indio during the month of April?
Average high temperature, Muggs?
91 degrees.
Samantha, is that right on, or is it higher or lower?
Higher. Oh, no.
Sorry.
The average high in April is 87 degrees.
87. No, you don't get to beat him out.
That's not fair.
That's the only one that he...
Jesus Christ.
He's still alive.
All right, let's do a drawing for somebody who gets tickets to 3-day passes to Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella house.
All right, Beer Mug, you pick.
Yeah, I can't move my arms. Brianna!
Where's Brianna? Line five. Okay. Hey, Brianna, congratulations.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
You got the 3-day passes. Enjoy Coachella. Enjoy the K-Rock house. And thanks for playing.
Right on. Thank you.
That was Beat Beer Mug. We found something he's actually good for. But now we can't fire him because we really want to beat him again.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
So you're in Star Wars 9? Star Wars 9?
It looks like it.
You in Star Wars 9?
I sure hope so.
When are you shooting?
Can you call my buddy JJ and see if you can put in a good word?
Immediately.
I don't have JJ Abrams' phone number available. He hasn't given that to me. Although I assume you do have it.
I do have it. I was just with him. We were. It's so weird when planets align. There's been twice now. I had to go to D.C. for something, for epilepsy.
But have
you
said
charity.
Who's in here?
Greg Grunberg.
Oh, okay. Oh, people know. I
mean, people know just by hearing him.
Yeah, they're like, I know that accent.
Apologies.
Yeah, no problem.
Actually, we hadn't said no, so thank you.
Okay. But these last couple trips that I took, my best friend happens to be there when I'm there for completely different reason. He was there for the Kennedy Center Honors in D.C. Mm-hmm. I was there for a big epilepsy conference. And I called him. I'm like, hey, want to get together? He's like, I'm going to D.C. And we were there. And then New York. I just got back yesterday.
Is he stalking you?
He is. Okay. But it's the best stalker to have.
Yeah.
A stalker that can hire you? Come on.
For Star Wars?
Star Wars?
I love how loyal you and JJ are with each other, though. I mean, he's got a movie. I have to assume Greg's in it, or Greg has done something very wrong.
You know, that's a one-sided loyalty.
Yeah, you're right. What have you done for JJ lately?
Yeah, exactly. Well, none of this stuff would have been successful without me being in it. I mean, let's just be honest.
Right, that's true. I think that's true.
Yeah, Felicity.
Right.
What that show have going for it. Right.
When you got Sean Blumberg. When you got the haircut, the whole show changed.
No one talks about who cut her hair.
Right.
I'm right here.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know. But no, you know, I've been really fortunate. He's, first of all, is the best guy on the planet. He really is the best friend anybody could have. And then on top of that, we love working together and hanging out together. And creatively, we're always, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think? Just a best friend. And so
he does seem like the most kind person. Like, I was at Jimmy Kimmel's wedding, and I talked to him for a few minutes, and he stood there and talked to me like I was important.
You are important.
No, please.
Except for the first name, you're very important.
We didn't talk about how the name Kevin is pretty much bad and everything. But I was talking to J.J. Abrams, and he's like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this and this. Well, what do you think about? And he asked me, like, 5 questions first. And then I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I have to fly back and write Star Wars.
Just that. Like picking up the laundry.
I was out of questions. Suddenly my life seemed pretty insignificant. But he doesn't see himself that way. And I love that.
The thing that's so crazy is like the details of that are very, you know, they're under wraps. And
right,
he's really good about that. I mean, everybody, Bad Robot, they always do that. They create something. And there's the less you speak about it. Mm-hmm. He talks about this, if you haven't seen his TED Talk, he talks about this mystery box. And the theater is a mystery box. So the more you let out, the less interesting it is when you get in there. You know? So he always keeps things secret. However, like we had dinner in New York, and I think this waitress or somebody's like, hey, what's going on? You're writing Stars. How's it going? He's like, well, you know, this and this. He's giving like, but not details, but like details on the process. He's like, it's going great. And I'm like, why are you even saying that? Like I get in trouble when I'm on the car, I'm promoting something else and somebody asks me about this and I'm supposed to say nothing. And I said, just in the first Star Wars, I was like, no one's going to do a better job. I'm so excited that JJ is at the helm of this, and it's going to be great. Kathy Kennedy, they're amazing. And immediately I got a call going, shut up.
How much?
Don't say anything. I'm like, well, how am I not supposed to say
all
that?
I said is it's going to be great.
Right.
Do they tell, do you get details outside of your character, or they just bring you in and shoot your stuff and you get to leave? I mean, he's your friend, so I assume you get to.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, I didn't know anything. He just said, get on a plane and come. Same thing for Lost. And turns out I played a pilot both times.
Right.
However, in Lost. Kind of
getting pigeonholed a little.
Yeah, but in Lost, it was like 5 seconds and a smoke monster ate
right.
me. You know, so it's the greatest cameo to have. That show would have been called Hover if I didn't crash the plane. But at the same time, Star Wars, I got there, and they're all having dinner. The cast, I didn't really know any of them. And I walked in, and they were like, there's Snap Wexley. And when you, right away, you're I'm like huh? I'm in. I trust JJ, but when I heard that name, yes. I was like, that's the coolest thing.
I like
thing
to picture
ever.
The set of Star Wars as just being like all the characters are there. It's lunch break. They're all hanging out. I mean, it just seems like it would be the best thing in the world.
It's the canteen. Basically.
It is, right.
You know what I mean? Like, as soon as they're like, cut, that's lunch. It doesn't happen like that.
It
but
does seem like it, though. For most of us on the outside, yeah.
The thing that's so crazy is that there's so many people that are involved in a movie like that. You know? And so I go from that to, I just finished a movie called Max Reload and the Nether Blasters. And it's a low-budget, really cool, really fun gamer sci-fi movie that I'm producing and I'm starring in. And that literally, like, if we had the craft service budget of one day on Star Wars,
right.
I can make 3 Max Reloads and another one. So it's fun to, like, to do all this stuff. And then the movie that I just finished that's going to be on tomorrow on HBO, that is super heavy.
All right, let's talk about that. That's Paterno.
Oh, man.
Paterno. About Joe Paterno.
Yes.
The Penn State. And
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino Jeez. Plays him.
Yeah. I mean,
unreal.
Alpa plays Joe Pa.
Yeah.
It's an experience like Star Wars. And the same bucket list, like I'll never, ever do a movie like that. Suddenly, JJ gives me the opportunity to do Star Wars. Barry Levinson. Barry freaking Levinson.
Yeah.
What is your life?
I'm telling you, it was just incredible. And I sent in my audition tape, and these guys are choosing, like, they make decisions. The best, don't you think? The best creative people, Boom. They know what they want.
Yeah.
I sent my tape in. I couldn't make the audition. I sent a tape in, and a month later, they're like, yeah, we just don't know which brother you're going to play yet. Will you wear a fat suit? And I Scott Paterno, who I play, Al Paterno. Wow! Look at that!
Joe Paterno.
Synergy.
I also dated my mom. Wait, what's going on? So Scott Paterno is a heavy guy, and so I had to wear this fat suit and really character up, and it just was awesome. It's awesome. And I'm still wearing the fat suit, as you can tell.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just decided I'm going to go with this look. My wife loves it.
Now, Joe Paterno is, of course, set in 2000, was it 11?
Mm-hmm.
When Jerry Sandusky was brought up on charges, and how much did he know, and should he be fired, and that whole thing. It is a heavy subject.
It's a very heavy subject. People will go into this movie, and they're already the expectations of, I know what happened.
Right.
You know, this is a very emotional, people have already made their mind up.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think remember about this movie is, first of all, Al Pacino has created some of the best characters that we've ever had
Agreed.
In cinema. He also embodies and becomes, there's no actor like Al Pacino. He's just incredible. And for me to be able to see that process, and Barry Levinson was great.
Did you have a lot of scenes with him?
Yeah, because the whole movie is there. When, if you remember, Joe Paterno, he was trapped in the house.
Yeah,
they wouldn't let him do the thing, and then the house was surrounded by students and press and everything.
Yeah.
And then I'm an attorney. He has 2 sons. I think they have more kids, but the 2 sons in the movie, Larry Mitchell plays the other son. He's the heir apparent. Like, he's going to be the coach. He coaches with, Joe. I'm an attorney. I didn't go football, but we're huge football fans. And I've got the perspective of the audience. Like, I'm like, Dad, if you've seen the commercial, I'm like, Dad, did you know about Jerry? I'm the one who's like, what's going on? And I'm an attorney. There's a thing called a presentment. Do you guys know what a presentment is?
I don't know what that is.
I didn't know what that is either. On the East Coast, I think, a presentment is the charges that the person is up.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's the legal document that lays it out. Now, it is so disgusting.
For Jerry Sandusky. Yeah, it was one of the most horrible things.
So you can imagine how hard it is to read the presentment. No one in the family read the presentment but me. And I'm like, guys, I can't be the only one. Like, it was kind of easy for me to come to this with this because it's like all of us on this coast, not in Pennsylvania, have this opinion. And it's interesting to see You know, there are daggers in the film.
Right.
There's certainly daggers. Riley Keough, by the way, so amazing. She plays a reporter who broke the story, and what she finds out, and the calls she gets, and the things it. Hopefully, you know, it'll change certain people's opinions. But I think the main thing to understand is what was going on in this man's head. Who was Joe Paterno? And there were many, 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 many people that turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
It's not just Joe Paterno. He was just the Pope, you know, in at Penn
but
State.
But that's the important thing also to remember is that he was the Pope there. I mean, he was there forever.
It flowed
and
through
he
him.
Was king.
Yeah.
And how could anything bring him down?
Right.
And then that happened.
Right.
And I mean, it was
or
just crazy.
How could he possibly let this go on?
Right, exactly.
If he knew. And that's what you have to judge for yourself throughout the film, you know, is did he do enough when he did what he did?
Paterno is the name of the movie. It's debuting tomorrow night, Saturday at 8 p.m. on HBO. I'm really looking forward to that. You put out a list on Twitter of 10 of the best comedies of all time.
Yeah, well,
and we didn't know if you agreed with it or not.
No,
okay. I looked down at the next tweet, and you're like, "Not my list,
not mine."
Yeah,
anytime you put a list on Twitter, you just be prepared,
right? I went to Mojo, was it something Mojo, whatever, and they had this list, and I looked at it, and I was like, "There's another list today of like shows that should have got a second season."
Freaks and Geeks,
Freaks and Geeks is on the list. Thank God,
of course.
But there are the other shows. I've done plenty of those that I'm like, what about Love Bites?
All of mine.
Yeah, come on.
I'd like to talk about that list next, though. And try to create our own top 10 list.
Let's do
I
that.
I don't agree with some of them.
I'd love to bring it up. I should bring it up on Twitter.
Oh, we'll print it out for you.
Oh, okay.
You got it right there.
Oh, you got it right there. Yeah. Okay, good.
Greg Rundberg is here. Again, the movie is Paterno. It's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on HBO. We'll be right back.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Greg Rundberg is in studio with us. He's in Paterno, which is on HBO tomorrow night. He put a list on his Twitter.
Yeah.
That he took from someone else. He wants to put that out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we were ready to argue with you.
You were?
Yeah, we were going to
There's some great shows on this list.
Agreed.
But by the way, some of these shows, so the whole thing was, 10 funniest,
10 funniest TV shows of all time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to weigh in, you can at 1-800-520-1067. But
this got a lot of response on Twitter.
I'm sure it
it's
did.
Hard to move the needle.
Yeah.
I got a lot of people that follow me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. Like, if I take a picture of my meatloaf, they're like, wow, did you smoke it? Did you? I can engage them.
Right.
This one got a lot of response.
Sure. Because everybody has their opinion about funny TV shows. So this, I'll just read it to you so you know what it is. It's number 10 is South Park.
Hey, come on.
Which should be way higher.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Friends, which shouldn't be on the list.
Oh,
shouldn't even be on the list.
Don't get me started. Ridiculously angry about
Friends. Oh, Rachel and Ross, are they together? I don't know. Give me a break.
Holy crap,
I hated that show. All right, Saturday Night Live, I wouldn't put that on there either. I just wouldn't. Arrested Development, fantastic. The Office is number 6, fantastic.
Yeah,
number 5, Fawlty Towers. Never really saw.
Oh, man.
You think it would be in my top 10?
By the way, again, not my list.
I never
saw it either.
I'm not.
No. It's weird that all of a sudden they're like, blah, 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 British.
I know.
So they go Fawlty Towers, number 5. Number 4, Monty Python's Flying Circus, which I have seen and I love.
Yeah.
Number 3 is I Love Lucy. Now, never really saw it.
It's got to be on.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I never really saw it.
Never really saw it. You should buy. There's just something. It's a Black Mirror.
Uh-huh.
It's called a TV. You should really look
that?
Into this. How can you not? You turn on the TV and I Love Lucy's playing.
Not on the channel I'm on.
Okay.
There's so many shows. That's what started comedy.
I know. I understand its importance, and I'd be fine with people putting it on the list. Uh-huh. It wouldn't be on my top 10, but I understand that it probably should be there.
Okay.
Number 2 is The Simpsons.
Yes. So funny and brilliant.
Agreed.
Okay.
And number 1 is Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, I mean, I really only have a problem with Friends and Saturday Night Live.
How Veep is not on this list is disturbing me to no end.
Veep would be maybe number...
It would be top 3 for me.
Top three, yes.
Oh, I'm insane about Veep. Okay. We're a Veep family here at Kevin and Bean.
Okay. What about, what's the family one that's on right now?
All in the Family?
Modern Family?
Well, All in the Family.
Yeah, All in the Family needs to be on
Modern Family. I love that
show
as well.
Yeah.
That's one of those shows that it feels like is way funnier than people give it credit for because they sort of realized it was genius in the early days.
Yeah.
They're still doing great work.
That's what I was going to say. Consistency.
Yes,
look at some of these. Look, SNL, so inconsistent.
Inconsistent, right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Some great moments, also some totally
terrible
boring.
Moments.
Yeah, exactly.
That's off our list.
Yeah.
And
Fawlty Towers, that's on a British list.
Yeah, let's keep this to American
stuff. I'm fine with that.
We're murking.
I got to say, I'm surprised.
How about Curb Your Enthusiasm?
absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
I completely agree. That
makes
belongs
my top
on this
10.
List. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you bring a show like that back. What about Roseanne?
No.
What is going on?
I don't know. Did you watch the original?
I did not.
I never did either, so I don't really get all the hype, but it killed.
Yeah. I mean, destroyed.
It's not going on our list of funniest shows.
No.
I mean,
I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
What else?
What about Family Guy?
Yeah, Family Guy should be on this list.
Yeah. I mean, I love that.
And again, consistency.
Right. Yes.
Those shows are so funny.
Day in and day out. Yes, fantastic. What about Rick and Morty? I even like that.
Yeah.
I'm a Rick and Morty fan. I'm not sure it should be on the best of all time
maybe
yet.
Maybe because it's of all time.
Yeah. Is LeBron James the GOAT? Here's the question. Mm-hmm. I argue with this with my kids. I think absolutely might be the GOAT. Michael Jordan is, or Kobe Bryant.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't say Rick and Morty. They haven't stood the test of time.
Maybe that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah. I love the show, but maybe it hasn't stood the test of time. What about Chappelle?
See, Chappelle is another show that doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, come on. You know, what about Key and Peele?
Key and Peele, I love.
Dude, Key and Peele, and we're still turning to it all the time on YouTube. My kids, they'll be like, hey, slap it. I mean, they're like, it just doesn't stop.
All of the Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's my...
Exactly.
Still one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah. Just so good.
All right, let's take a few calls.
What about the original Office?
Original Office, genius. But
I would say... British people.
No. I would say the American Office is so much more... our sense of humor because it's made by Americans. I feel like the British Office was a little more subtle.
Yeah.
And
sort of
not quite as in your face with laughs per minute.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Great point.
Still great. I mean, it's all just, again, it goes back to characters.
Yes.
Characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a few phone calls. Let's talk to Mike in East Los Angeles. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. We're talking the 10 funniest TV shows of all time. What do you think?
Married with Children.
Oh, that's a really... this is Mike?
Yeah.
You're white trash, dude. That's exactly what it comes down to. Dude, I got to tell you something. You have brought up a really good point. That show, I mean, I remember it being shocking to me.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Kev?
I would not put it in my top 10.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
You're killing me, Kev.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry, Mike. I wouldn't put it in my top. I liked it. It was good. It was.
Yeah.
But it was sort of a little too exaggerated and goofy.
Yeah.
A little bit too much for my taste. If you're talking about the top 10, you have to leave something out. That's when I was
that show it was like theater. They were literally playing to the back of the house.
Right.
You
know,
but
true.
Good point, Mike. I think.
Thank you, Mike. You're not white trash.
Like some of my favorites.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Okay.
Besides Veep, which I think absolutely should be top 10, are shows that maybe not a ton of people watch, like Larry Sanders Show, to me, should be top 10.
So good.
But I don't think a lot of people either watched it or would consider it.
Yeah.
But I also love Scrubs to the point where I put
Scrubs
it top 10.
Scrubs was so great, too.
So, Scrubs was great. I don't think top 10.
Okay.
Top 11.
Mine.
All right.
Top 11.
It might be 11.
Scrubs was amazing.
You know what my mom and dad would put on?
What?
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah. By the way, okay, I think Raymond should be in the top 10.
It's so good. It's so good. And it stands up.
It stands up, and I was getting it, you know, in my family and then on TV. I mean, that was my upbringing.
Absolutely.
So you don't think so? You're not a...
It's weird for me because I know...
Ray's one of his best friends.
I know Ray, so it's sort of weird for me to say stuff like that. So I don't really know how to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons would be my final choice. That would be my final choice. I think I'm down with that one.
Yeah. Oh, God. What was the puppet one? The with the long nose. Remember in the... Oh, God, it was
puppet one with the long nose.
Yeah, right. You're right, Greg?
No.
Are you talking Alf?
Yeah.
Alf.
Alf wasn't a puppet.
Alf.
It sort of was.
I'm sorry. That was real?
No, it wasn't a puppet, but he was...
What if I really thought
Alf
it was real?
Alf wasn't a puppet.
I thought he was a hairy kid.
Don't ruin it for me.
You know what? Somebody in this room does an incredible Alf.
No problem.
My only impression. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
What's the way? Is that Raymond? Was that Raymond?
Both.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we're not going to necessarily agree on the top 10.
You know what should be on this list is my podcast. What a segue.
Your podcast. That was well done.
Right?
An actor, a comedian, and a musician walk into a bar.
Yes. If you haven't listened to it, please check it out. Thank you.
It's really good, yes.
And will you come back before A Star Is Born is released?
Yeah, but I would love to talk about because...
But have something else to talk about for me, too.
Okay.
Come on. How dare
you? Did you ever see the original?
No.
Oh, Kris Kristofferson,
no.
Barbra Streisand.
Be ridiculous.
Classic.
And now Bradley Cooper, who I worked with on Alias, who co-wrote and directed, produced this movie, stars in it, rocks the hizzy in this movie. He's an incredible musician. And Lady Gaga.
Did you say rocks the hizzy?
Yes. That was the official. That was in the script.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure. All right. The podcast. An actor, a comedian, a musician walk into a bar. The movie is Paterno. It is debuting tomorrow night at 8 on HBO. Greg, yes. You're always welcome here. Thank you for coming in.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
On Friday mornings at this time, we like to do Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Allie, who do we have that came close?
Very close. Texture number 99 wanted Panic by the Smiths. That was Rachel from Laverne. Womp, womp. So close. And also so close. Texture 101, Garrett and Corona wanted to hear The Way by Fastball.
All right.
Just missed out.
Texture 100 is Josh from Lakewood. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Any big plans for the weekend?
Not really. Just the Nerf War with my kids.
All right. Nerf war with your kids.
Oh, what if you said Turf War? That would be the greatest.
They're fighting over bedrooms and stuff?
Maybe that too.
All right.
Have you texted us before for Keep It 100?
Yes, I have.
Is it always the same song?
No.
It isn't.
It's just what you're feeling that day, right?
All right. What were you feeling today?
Jewel by Metallica.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't hate what you're feeling, Josh.
Thank you for texting. We appreciate it. We're going to play it for you right now and Keep It 100.
Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Ooh.
I mean, that's the song right there, right?
Awesome.
Keep It 100.
Thank you, Josh from Lakewood, for requesting that song, Fueled by Metallica. Thank you to everybody else for texting. We'll do it again next Friday morning.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Kat joins us every week at this time. Hey, Kat.
Hi.
Time for one last look at what's happening.
Yeah, we're going to check in with Kat, see what's going down this weekend as well. I want to remind you guys, in just a couple hours, tickets go on sale at noon via Ticketfly for legendary LA punk band Bad Religion at the Troubadour.
Yeah!
Yeah. That poor place.
Right?
Oh my God. Right? It's going to be amazing. That's going to go down on Wednesday, May 2nd. Chip has 4 phones at the ready. She is going to get on Ticketfly at noon. It is happening. But just be aware that there's a 4-ticket limit. You're not going to be able to buy tickets and then have someone show up and get the tickets out of your name. It's all done very legit. They know how to do it there at the Troubadour. But $35 each plus service fees. And again, I warned you before, don't bring gum. They will confiscate it, and they just put it on a little shelf, and you just say goodbye to your dentine.
Wow, that's harsh.
It's a devastating, devastating night before a psychedelic first. And by devastating, I mean to anyone around me, because I had garlic. That's all I'm saying. It's a whole issue. Kat, I'm not sure if you saw this. Did you see the little boy at Walmart? Wearing his red bow tie, his cowboy boots, just tapping his little foot.
Oh, hell no.
Oh.
You didn't see the yodeler?
You didn't see Yodel Boy?
No, do I need to?
Yes. Let me just say, this went down in Walmart. People stopped in their tracks. This little 10-year-old dude singing his heart out and yodeling. Okay,
that is not a 10-year-old.
That is a 10-year-old.
No, like, it's a little person.
No,
it's,
when you
Brad
watch
Williams.
The video, he's just this old soul. It is the purest, sweetest thing you can see.
Kids are stupid.
Nope, not what I'm saying. However, if there was ever a way to make it better, it's with a remix, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wanna Everything needs a remix.
Want to hear some Walmart singing kid
I'm
trap
dying
style?
For it. I'm dying for it.
Ha ha ha!
mentioned Kevin loves going to Vegas, loves EDC.
Right.
What if some DJ during his 3 a.m. set was like, you know what? Yodel kid. I don't know what to do.
I mean,
amazing.
Come on.
Kat, if you haven't seen this video and anyone out there that's listening, just Google Walmart Yodel Kid. His name is Mason Ramsey. He's 10 years old from Harrisburg, Illinois, and he is just love and light just squished down into this little human that yodels.
He looked trapped to me. He looked like he was being forced to do it in Walmart.
His face was a little hostage situation-esque.
He was blinking out, somebody help, in Morse code. And we were just like, oh, that's so cute.
It's so cute. I mean, try and look past that.
I'm waiting to, you know, the Tuesday I sit in on K-Rock Music Meeting, and all of a sudden I hear that drop.
Right?
And I'm going to be like, oh.
You are.
Allie was right.
It's going to be over a Cranberry song. It'll be amazing. You'll love it.
Snap.
Designer Marc Jacobs, who is stylish. He's a handsome man. He could rent out any location to do a grand gesture, such as, I don't know, dropping down on one knee to propose to his longtime boyfriend, Charlie. But what he chose to do instead delights me to no end. The man arranged for a flash mob to perform Prince's Kiss. No, that's not the funny part.
No, I'm saying that's awesome. I love
it. Awesome. It gets awesomer. Arranged for a flash mob to perform Prince's Kiss at a Chipotle in New York
what?
City.
What? Yay! Marc Jacobs wins. Like,
Marc Jacobs is the best. He said yes, by the way, and I hope they got a burrito.
Well, that's
after.
Good. I'm glad he said yes.
Right? Imagine after, he's like, I'm a Taco Bell guy. What's happening? Not really into this. Ridiculous. But Kat is here, as she is every Friday, to tell us cool things that we may not know about that are happening here or just a little flight away, right?
Kevin, I'm going to your favorite place, your second homeland, Vegas.
Oh, all right.
I'm going for the Emerge Festival, which is a new festival over here. It's kind of like being proactive with all the angst we have going on right now. And bands, like there's 70 bands, like Twin Shadow, OK Go, supposed to play their songs with the videos behind them.
Oh, wow.
Rise performing. It's a fantastic lineup. I'm hosting a showcase tomorrow night at Link. My friend Matt Pinfield, we're going to go get into trouble. It's going to be a good time. I know.
That's trouble, right?
Exactly, right?
I
good
like
trouble.
So, I like it.
So maybe I'll see you in Vegas? Or
I don't know. I want to see if you are anywhere near alive on Sunday.
I don't know, but I do have to host something else on Sunday. So I fly back and then I go to Burbank.
Okay.
Oh, no. Pretty much how it's going to be because you guys, you know what Sunday is, right?
It's,
you know what it is.
I know what it is.
What is it,
Allie? It's Rex Manning Day.
Of course it is.
Come on.
It's going to be ridiculous.
It's April 8th. It's Rex Manning Day. And let's hear the single that launched 1,000 Panties into the Air in 1995.
They call me from a car with a je ne sais quoi. You say you need a little of my ooh la la. I know you get lonely in your Canada bed. Well, say no more, baby, I'll be running everywhere. Say no more, more, no more.
Wow.
Come on, you guys. She's doing dance
moves, too.
Doing
dance
moves.
Say no more, more, no more.
I'm saying, if people don't know Empire Records, first of all, shame on you.
Yeah.
But this is all, this the movie, essentially, this dude.
Yeah, they have, it's a record store, it's going under, they're having Rex Manning Day, who's this disgruntled, like, past his prime idol, played by Max Caulfield, who is amazing in it. And, I mean, the film stars like Renee Zellweger and Liv Tyler and Ethan Embry. And anyway, I'm hosting this night that features, like, Linda Mallory from the Martinis, who sings that awesome song, Free, when Robin Tunney's shaving her head.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, like, crying.
Yeah.
Because she just wants to die
it's
and have
very
a big
emotional.
Funeral. And, like, Letters to Cleo are doing this thing on Sunday. So I'll be tweeting stuff, and you'll be seeing me, like, you know, really hungover, just trying to hold it together.
And that is Sunday at the
at Muse in, yes, in Stew City, yeah.
Stew City.
Stew City. You
sit
know,
down.
That's
I like
CBS.
It.
Everybody's so pretty in that CVS.
It's too silly.
Laurel Canyon. Yeah. Laurel Canyon Ventura.
I used to go to the California Picture Kitchen right across from there.
Yeah. You guys know we're on the air.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do some people tune out?
Right?
Indeed. Some birthdays for you. Paul Rudd, Zach Braff, Michael Rooker, Billy D. Williams, and Kat, Candace Cameron Bure.
Hallmark
Channel. We love the Christmas movies. You should really join Kat and I getting hammered watching Christmas movies. It's a good time. It really is.
But you have to get hammered to enjoy it.
Yeah, she actually recorded us once.
Oh,
nothing
it was horrifying.
Nothing could make air.
Sweet.
No, it was like, that will never be heard by anyone's ears.
That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Kat. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win. This afternoon with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
These nuts, bitch.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Excuse me, white devils.
Okay, you're getting off topic.
Just pass it around.
That's random.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Don't be dicks.
Well, just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Shoot, I think with that, we'll call this one done. Hope you've enjoyed this painting. It's very easy and bring a lot of good things to your heart. From all of us here, happy painting, and God bless, my friend.
God bless America. God bless you. God bless me. God bless everybody here. You the man, and you know.
Well, so there you have it. Blah. So there you have it, K-Rock audience. And I don't think I screwed it up.
Mission failed. We'll get them next time.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.